Welcome to Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans, a ministry dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, inspiring, educating, and equipping believers to care for vulnerable children, and supporting those who have heard and heeded the call of James 1:27. Here's your host, Sandra Flack.
Hi there, I'm your host, Sandra Flack, Media Director for Orphan Sunday. Orphan Sunday is an initiative of Christian Alliance for Orphans. I am thrilled to have as our guest today, Christian recording artist and Dove Award winner, Mark Schultz. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Hey, thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, we're thrilled to have you on. For our listeners, Orphan Sunday, like I said, is an initiative of CAFO. It is right around the corner. It's always the second Sunday of November. And Mark, you're actually doing an Orphan Sunday concert in Florida on November 10th. Why are you so passionate about adoption and helping orphans?
Well, you know, it's my story. And I think anything that you're affiliated with that happens in your life, that becomes a big deal for you. And you, I think for me, you know, as I think about being adopted, and we've adopted now a couple of kids, man, there's a real passion for that with me to tell that story. And when I do my concerts, I know what those are going to be, and I know the songs that I'm going to sing. But when I do an event like this, all of a sudden, man, I get to tell my story and I get to introduce my kids, whether it's live or through the videos or the pictures, and to really tell that story. And man, I could just really see people in the room be moved, and they're like, whoa, this is touching something deep inside of him. And so I think that the best thing we can do is, as maybe folks who were adopted or have been orphans, is to tell that story, because I think it awakens something in other people. And they're like, I didn't know that. Now that I know that, I need to do something about it.
Yeah. So tell us, what is your story?
Yeah. So I was adopted when I was 2 weeks old from Kansas. I always tell people jokingly that it was the hardest 2 weeks of my life with the paperwork and everything. Mm-hmm. But I got the best parents in the world. And so adopted at 2 weeks old. And I didn't think about being adopted too much growing up. And then, because my dad would always say, well, son, the reason you can sing, you've got a good voice, is because, you got that from me. And the reason you can be a quarterback is because you got my athletic skills. And so he would take credit for a lot of that. But for me, it was just super fun. I felt special being adopted, and it was really neat. And then when I got into the music world and I started to sing songs, there was a friend of mine, and she said, hey, did you ever think about writing a song about being adopted? And I said, no, you know, I've never really done that before. And I talked to a lady. I always say that it was I was getting ready to go on and do a show one night, and she was helping with the show, and it was an adoption awareness show. And she said, I'll never forget this. She said, hey, have you ever met your birth mom? And I said, no, I never have. And she said, would you want to do that? And I said, man, that seems kind of weird if I just showed up now, you know, I was 40, to show up and go, hey, remember me? And I remember saying to her, and I was getting ready to walk on stage, so I said it quickly, and I wasn't even thinking. I just said, you know, she was probably just in a selfish time, and I was just getting ready to walk out on stage. And this was a lady who was probably 60 or 70. And if she could have come out with her hand and grabbed me by the, like this, but she got real close to me, and her face was red and her lip was quivering, you know, and I wasn't going anywhere. We're going to walk on stage, not with her looking at me like that. And she goes, let me ask you something. She said, have you ever been pregnant before? And I was honest, and I said, no. And she said, you know, for a girl to be pregnant and young, there's kind of a bullseye on her, and everybody knows what her story is, and it's very difficult, but your birth mom chose to carry you for those 9 months. And then she said, and then hardest of that is that she would have given birth to you and gone through the pain of childbirth. And then even harder than that, she would have held you, and she would have looked at you and said, I want to give you the best life possible, but I don't have the situation right now to give you the best life, but I know there's a Christian family out there that's praying for you and can give you a better life than I can give you. And then she kissed you on the head, and she handed you off. And she said, I can guarantee you it was not out of selfishness that you were born. It was out of love that you were born. Mm. And my jaw hit the floor. I'd never thought about it like that. And I wrote a song that day called Everything to Me, which just states, when you gave me up, you gave me everything. And it was just a tip of hat to her to say, hey, look, I'm so grateful that you chose to carry me for the 9 months and give me life, that's the greatest gift I've ever been given before I even knew what a gift was, you know? And so I'm so grateful to her. And that was my personal story. And then we decided afterwards You know what? I'll say this too. I tell this funny story. I'm just going to keep talking.
Go ahead.
I tell this story in my shows that when my mom and dad came to the hospital to adopt me, I was hoping for some great big story that was fantastic or whatever. And I make a joke that my mom walked in and she saw me and she looked at my dad and they just looked at me. And my mom goes, you know, what do you think? And she looked at my dad and my dad goes, I'm in. And I was like, really? Is there more to that? And then when I got to be 20 and I graduated from Kansas State University and I drove to Nashville to start my music career, my neighbors were Henry and Liz, and Liz was best friends with Minnie Pearl off of Hee Haw. Wow. And so they grew up together and they had me over for dinner every night for like 9 months, and they fed me fried foods and sweet tea and cookies and all that. And Henry asked me on my first night that I was there, he said, hey, did I ever tell you about my first date with Liz? And I was like, no, cause I don't even know you people. And he said, I came here, asked her on a date, and her dad said yes if I walked her home and walked her all the way back and never left her side. And Henry never left her side. He married her, and they'd been married for 65 years.
Wow.
And I remember one Sunday after church, they called it carry me to church. We're going to carry you to church today, and because they were Southern country people. So we came back from church, and they're feeding me, and it was around Christmas, and I was discouraged because music wasn't going well. And Liz puts the telephone on the table and she dials and she picks up the thing and she's ready to dial. She said, you need to call your folks. And I said, what for? And she said, well, Henry and I have been talking and we decided if we had a son out in the world, we'd want somebody to look at after him. So you just call your folks and tell them they've got nothing to worry about because you just got adopted by Henry and Liz. So I said, I've been adopted a couple times, you know? So I was asking my wife, I said, how do people know how to live like this with their arms wide open to say, I'm in, you know, because that's essentially what Henry and Liz said to me was, I'm in. And my parents said, I'm in. So I said, how do you do that? I mean, it's a lot easier just to do this and close your arms like this and keep your head down and not get involved with other people. But my parents and Henry and Liz, they just chose to, they started with this, you know? And I was like, how do people know how to do that? And then I realized when my wife and I were talking, it's because they loved a God who did this to them first. And they were just mirroring back to people what God was already doing to them. And so I was like, I think we need to be doing that. And my wife's like, well, I'm already doing that. Come along and join me though. And so we decided we're going to live like this for a while. And 2 years later, we'd had two kids, Ryan and Gus. And 2 years later, we got a phone call and a Skype kind of like this from an organization in China. And they said, we think we've got your baby. And my wife screamed from the office and I ran back there to see what's going on. And there was this beautiful Chinese baby. And still, it chokes me up to talk about it. My wife is just got tears running down her face and she's looking at this little baby from China who's 8 months old. And she goes, and I'm behind her and she goes, what do you think? And I just went, I'm in. And it was, 6 weeks later, we went to pick her up and she is the greatest. You have to always say, we've got two boys. We had two boys and one girl who was adopted from China. And I always say, no matter what happens, I've never had a girl before, but no matter what happens, I'm going with her, whatever happens. The other two things happen. But with her, man, I am stuck to her. No, they're all wonderful kids, but she's just so wonderful. And so we said, okay, this is what we're going to do. And a surprise my wife did for me. I always say whenever I go on tour, I come home and we've either got more pets or we've adopted another kid or something. So I come back and my wife says, hey, I've got something special to tell you. And I said, what is that? And she said, you were adopted from Kansas, from Topeka, Kansas, through the Kansas Children's Service League. And she said, there's a little baby that's about to be born in Kansas from Topeka, from the Kansas Children's Service League. And I already told them we're taking her. Because that feels like it's going to complete the circle for what we've done. And I was on a tour and my wife called me after the show and she said, last November, what are you doing? And I said, well, I just finished a show. And she said, how fast can you get on a plane to Kansas? And I said, what for? Our baby's not going to be born for another 3 weeks. And she said, she's being born right now. So we got on the plane and flew her. And now we're quickly a family of six over here.
Amazing. I love your story. And I'd like to talk for a moment because you've recorded an album and written songs that are really inspired by your adoption experience, having been adopted yourself. So could you tell us about some of those songs?
Yeah. You know, I think when I'm writing songs, somebody said this the other day, that because I'm adopted, I think there's a space inside of me that's a special room that I can go in that maybe if you haven't had that experience, you just don't know that that room even exists. And when I go in there, if you listen to a lot of my songs, man, there's some heartfelt, really heartfelt songs. And so whether it's a song I wrote about my mom called When You Come Home or Walking Her Home for Henry and Liz, you know, that we met, I'll tell you the magic thing that happened with that story that I just told you about everything to me about the one that I wrote for my birth mom. And I went and I played a show in Jacksonville, Florida. And I think it had something to do with adoption too. I'm not sure. But anyway, I played Everything to Me. And afterwards, there was a mom who'd waited for an hour in the autograph line to come by. That makes me sound good, doesn't it? There was an hour long line to get to.
Yeah.
Anyway, she comes up and she's got a girl with her, a little girl who's probably 14 years old. And she said, hey, you play that song tonight, Everything to Me. And we listen to all your records. And those are special songs. But this one specifically is affected me and my daughter. And she said, here's the thing. My daughter was adopted and she went through foster care. And she always feels like she was abandoned. And no matter how much we try to love her or give her love, she's just got this shell on her that says, I'm not good enough. And you're probably going to abandon me too. And I'd heard this before when that song came out that sometimes kids take an avenue, and one avenue is I'm not worth it. I was abandoned. My mom didn't want me. Then how can I really be loved? And the other one is, man, I'm special and God had a plan for me and I don't want to miss that plan. And so they're going this positive route. So I talked to this girl and I told her my story. And then we talked about her story and I said, you know what? God just doesn't make mistakes. And the deal is he's got a plan for you and you don't want to miss that plan. And I don't think you will if you just keep your eyes open. But if your head's down and you're feeling sorry for yourself and feeling like, oh, I'm abandoned, well, then God, it's harder for God to get through that message. But if you're attentive to what God's got for you. And so for the first time, we talked for about an hour. She gave me a big smile and I gave her a hug and she's crying. The next year I came back. This was in Jacksonville, Florida. The next year I came back and I'm playing my concert up on stage and there's a couple thousand people there. And afterwards, I came back out on stage when I was putting stuff away and I came out on stage and there's three kids that are standing at the front of the stage and they're smiling and I walked out there and this girl goes, hey, you didn't play my song. And I was like, what song and who are you? And it was a girl that I had talked to the last year and she had this huge smile on her face and she had two other kids with her that were adopted. This gets me. And she said, these are my friends. They're adopted too. We're huge fans. And that's our theme song. And we listen to that song all the time, knowing that we're special and God's got something for us and we don't want to miss it. And now we know who we are and we're not abandoned kids, but we're loved kids, loved by our families, loved by God. And we know that we're special. And maybe we'll get to do something like you're doing someday where we can have a big voice like that. And I was like, whoa. So when you asked me at the beginning, why is it special? Why is Orphan Sunday special for me? Why are the songs that I write special? And why is what I get to do, get up on stage and perform? Man, it's almost like it stops being a song and it stops being a story. And it's almost at some point in time for that little girl, it's almost like food that you can give to somebody that they can go, oh man, that's not just a song. That hits in a place in here that all of a sudden I felt that in a way I've never felt before. And that, I feel like God's presence is in that because I feel like it comes through you in that way. Mm-hmm. And so, man, it's a calling. It's not a concert to me.
Oh, I love that. And, you've been a voice for the voiceless, through some advocacy work that you've done, including riding a bike across the United States from California to Maine, I believe it was, back in 2007. Tell us about some of that advocacy work you've done.
Yeah, that was dumb. I think the idea was great, but I just riding my bicycle across the country. So Christian Stores called me and they said, hey, we know you're adopted and we love you to be an advocate. And we're starting this thing called the James Fund, which helps us use some of the money that we make during the year to start a foundation to help orphans around the world. Could you be the spokesperson? And I said, yeah, I would love to be that. I was honored. And they took me to Mexico, to Monterrey, Mexico, to a group of people. It's called Back to Back. And Beth, who off from Back to Back, I believe you've interviewed.
Yeah, Beth Guggenberger.
Yes, I always stumble across that last name. So they're just wonderful people. And I remember seeing how they were involved with orphans. And I remember Beth pulled me aside. And I didn't know Beth more than 3 days, but she pulled me aside. She said, hey, I hear you're going to be the spokesperson for the James Fund for Family Christian. I said, sure. And she said, I'm going to challenge you to not just be a picture on a poster that they hang in their stores that says Mark Schultz is for adoption. He was adopted and he advocates for orphans. And she said, I want to challenge you to do something really special that gets people's attention, because you could just phone this one in or you could do something special. And so that stuck with me. And I went home and I thought about it. And my wife had ridden her bike across the country like a few years before. And I thought, I've never heard of an artist doing a tour where they ride their bike from California to Maine and pedal from one state to the next state and hit a church and get out and do a concert and then give the money away to orphans and then get on their bike and then start keep pedaling to the next church.
Wow.
I called my manager and I told him the idea, and there was just a pause on the phone, and I was thinking, oh, he didn't like this at all. And he goes, he was in tears, and he goes, are you serious? I've never heard of that. And I said, well, let's go do it. So we take a tour bus to sleep in on the nights, and the tour bus followed me. We did 16 shows over 62 days, and we went from California to Maine and raised $250,000 for orphans just riding the bike across the way. And I people were so great. We got the greatest country in the world, but we had no shower. And there was we bought this little shower. It was like a woman's purse that we bought in Kmart that unfolds and makes a shower. And we hung it on the outside of the bus, and you fill it up with water, and then you stand underneath it and it just drips on you, you know? And that was the shower. And it had these little cutouts at the top so the steam could be released out the top of this shower. Hey, you want to bring Lou over here real quick so I can show her? My little girl from Kansas that came from the same adoption agency that is refusing a nap right now, but
oh my
there
goodness.
She is. Hey, sweet girl. And this is my wife, Kate, too.
Hi.
Aww.
So, can you wave?
Oh, she's waving. Hi.
Face us.
There you go.
She's a sweet girl.
Oh, precious, precious.
The best.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And so, there's these little cutouts for steam, though there'll be no steam in these showers. But anyway, I'm in the, my bus driver takes me to the least conspicuous place for me to take a shower, which is the Walmart parking lot of any town we're in at 5 o'clock in the afternoon of any town. So I'm in there thinking, I hope nobody knows it's me in here, and I'm taking this little shower. But it says across the top of the bus, Mark Schultz across America on a bicycle. And then there's a shower with water coming out. And this is what a great country we live in. And this is how we raise so much money. Man, I'm taking a shower and all of a sudden, there's a $20 bill that comes in the side of the air hole of the tent. Grab it. There's a little tension on the line. I hear this voice go, I'd like to make a little donation to your trip. I was like, okay, weirdo. And I put it in the dry spot and kept going. But people, once they found out what we were doing, they couldn't stop giving money. I mean, I'd be around the road riding my bike, and people would just drive by and hand me a 50 or 100 because they'd see the bus behind us. And so it was one of the greatest things I've ever done. And people would say, who came to those concerts, man, something was different because you sang different, you spoke different, you threw your set list out there, and God took over in a way that they were just like, man, we like your concerts, okay, but that, when you do concerts that have something to do with orphans or adoption, something happens that's really, really special, and I think that's what happened on that trip. And
yeah,
30, we're supposed to ride 3,500 miles. I think we rode 3,800 miles because I got lost a couple times. But anyway, it was one of the greatest things I've ever done.
Oh, and it definitely, I think the difference is it really reflects God's heart, because you're doing it for the least of these. And I love that story. And that sort of, is that what kicked off, you went on to establish the Remember Me mission, which is something I know is on your website. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I have to laugh when I think about this, because my wife and I were traveling right after that happened. And I remember she said to me, hey, when are we going to ride across the country again and raise more money for orphans? And I said, hey, we didn't do it the first time. That was just me. And she said, well, we got to do something. And so I have a song called Remember Me. And she said, look, there's a lot of orphans that feel like they're maybe forgotten. So let's start something called the Remember Me Mission. that helps orphans around the world. And she said, I want to be a part of it. So she's written a book. We had a book done about Remember Me. I've done a instrumental and a hymns record. And that's always available on our merchandise table, or people can go online and get those. And so all the money from those specialty projects goes into the Remember Me mission. And then my wife's an OBGYN. And so she's in touch with, she has a heart for young mothers, or just mothers in general, and babies. And so she reached out to all these places. She went to South Africa when she was studying to go work with women over there. And so she knows what they need over there to have healthy babies and have babies live. And she knows all the terminology for that. But so they would get a hold of her and she'd say, what do you need? And then we would start just sending them things out, medical things out to help them, and then money in orphanages. And I always say it was one of the greatest things I've ever done, because it kept me off my bike and made my wife happy. So I haven't had to get back and ride anymore. My bike's still in the garage, upside down, hanging from the roof. And we're able to help orphans around the world through these shows and through these specialty projects. And we get to do it as a team. So pretty exciting.
Oh, I love that. And I love all you're doing, Mark. And let's, as we wrap up, what is on your heart that you want to make sure our listeners really take away from our conversation today?
Yeah, I think one of the things, as people turn their hearts to the orphan, and Steve Biondo, who was a part of, he was the head of the James Fund for Family Christian, and now he works with Tim Tebow, and he's the head of the Tim Tebow Foundation, and they have a huge heart for orphans. And one of the things that he said was, when you turn your heart to the orphan, and it says in the Bible that, you know, we're to take care of the orphan and the widow. But, and that sounds like a command, like, hey, if you love God, this is what you'll do. The thing that it doesn't say in the Bible, which is God's way of smiling, I think, on the people that do turn their hearts to the orphan, is something happens in here where you just get drawn into the orphan. And I remember when we had some friends here, and they said, well, what a good thing you've done to adopt some kids who were, you know, orphans. And I just didn't, I'd forgotten about that. I just forgot that they were orphans. And I said, you mean my daughter? I was like, I don't think of her as being an orphan. I just think her was is one of the best things that ever happened to me. And so, as people, you know, Orphan Sunday, when they start thinking about orphans, I just challenge them to take one step, just take one step in the direction of an orphan, and it will turn your life upside down, because there is such a blessing. If we gave, God 100% in taking that step, he gave us 500% back in just what happened to us afterwards. So, my life's changed in ways that I can't imagine it being any different. And I wouldn't, want to change a thing. We got, you know, my wife's, at the sink, and she's walking past, and she's just got tears in her eyes, because we absolutely love what we get to do, and we love our kids, and we love the kids that are still looking for an opportunity to have the opportunity that I've had, the opportunity that my daughters have had. And there are so many kids that need loved and need some. I'll say one other. Can I tell one other story?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to end with this. I tell this story because it shows where we live and how special it is. When we were coming back with our daughter from China, she was an orphan there, and, you know, her life probably would have been very, very hard there, you know. And she was coming back, and everybody held her on the plane. The stewardess held her on the plane, you know, they took pictures, and the guy driving the plane, the pilot, I guess they call, came back and held her. And we tell the story to as a symbol of what we have as Americans to give. And when we stepped off the plane, I knew all I have to do is step off the plane and stand on the American side, and all of a sudden she's an American citizen, you know. And we're walking up to the front, and everybody on the plane's held her, and so everybody knows the story, and all the people on the plane, the pilots, everybody knows. So we get off, and there's another stewardess that we've never seen. She was just waiting in Detroit to get on the plane, and she's standing there right where I have to walk off and just step and be an American citizen with my daughter. And she stands there. And as we're walking up, she stops us and she says, stop. And I was like, no, you don't understand. All I have to do is step over the line where you're standing right there. And she's an American citizen. So please get out of the way. And then you can hold her after that. And I turned to my wife. I was like, are there details I didn't know about that you didn't tell me? We're supposed to fill out paperwork. But the stewardess just said, no. She said, you need to stop it. She said, I need the baby. And I was like, what? So I looked at my wife. So I hand my MA over to the stewardess. And she looks at her, and she holds her up in the air, and she brings her back down, and she kisses her on the forehead, and she says, little girl, welcome home. She said, I wanted to be the first one to welcome her home. And I thought, what a gift that is, that she came from a place where she was going to have this incredibly tough life. And she, the first person that sees her, doesn't even know her, wants to be the first one that says, you're loved, you're cherished, and you're home. Now that, you can wrap that right up there. And that's the whole story in a nutshell. That's the way my parents were with me. That's the way Henry and Liz were with me. And that's how somebody who didn't even know her, that just wanted to say, you're safe, you're home, and you're loved. Well, man, that's my mission. And that's, again, why it's not a concert. It's a passion of mine and a calling of mine.
Oh, Mark, thank you so much. Thank you for being all in on behalf of the orphan. And thank you for sharing your story and standing for orphans and vulnerable children with all you got. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Hey, appreciate it. If you can't get to Mark's Orphan Sunday concert in Florida on November 10th, you can still participate in Orphan Sunday by praying for one child. This is something super simple that your family, your church can do. You can pray for an orphan overseas. You can pray for a child in the U.S. foster care system. You can even pray for a specific child in your state by name. For the details and free downloadable resources, go to orphansunday.org. While you're there, be sure to check your church in on the Orphan Sunday map. Join the thousands of churches across the U.S. and in over 90 countries globally who are standing with one voice for orphans and foster children. You can learn more and get all of the details at orphansunday.org.
Yeah. And I'd say this, if folks want to go on and learn more about the show in Florida, they can go to markschultzmusic.com. Again, markschultzmusic.com and learn about the shows. As well as, you don't want to go just to Mark Schultz. I think he's an all-star wrestler. That's not me. But if you go to markschultzmusic.com, that's our site, and they can learn more about the Remember Me mission as well as the concerts that are coming up.
All right. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Orphans No More, for sharing what you've heard and praying for vulnerable children everywhere. We hope you are inspired to walk out James 1:27 in whatever way God calls you. For more information, visit justicefororphansny.org.